Welcome once again to Microsoft's Insurance Corner with your presenters, Steve Walker, Insurance Cloud and AI Platform Specialist at Microsoft.
And Heather Haley, Insurance Account CTO at Microsoft. With this series, we aim to cut through the noise to bring you practical insights on the Microsoft technologies reshaping the UK insurance sector. From agentic AI to data platforms, the developer experience, security, and the future of underwriting and claims.
This series is designed to give leaders and practitioners clear, actionable perspectives you can take straight back into your organization. No hype, just real conversations, real expertise, and real value. Thank you for joining us, and let's get into today's discussion. Heather, we were privileged to be joined today with Dan Reardon. He is Mr. London Market in the Microsoft UK team, isn't he?
He is indeed. And as I mentioned in the episode, when I first joined the insurance team from my financial services background, he was the first person I hunted down to dissect all his knowledge and experience of the London Market.
It was such a great chat with Dan. And it was just a reminder of how much heritage there is in London, and a great history lesson just to remind us of all of that.
Absolutely. And I think one thing that very much came out of the episode today, and a broader theme I'm seeing from the London Market, is we can't forget the culture that comes from the insurance sector and all that goodness as well.
Absolutely. I think let's just get straight into it, shall we?
Agreed.
We are honoured today to be joined with Dan Reardon. Dan, welcome to Insurance Corner.
Pleasure to be here, Steve. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We were absolutely honoured when you said you would come to do this. Yeah, this is an episode we've been very much looking forward to. Do you want to take just a couple of minutes to say hi to everyone and introduce yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Hello, everyone. My name's Dan Reardon. I'm a account executive with Microsoft. In terms of background, I've been in the sort of consulting and tech industry for around about 25 years now. I'm in that gap between Gen X and millennials, a sort of zennial. So I lived in the analog world pre-mobile phones, pre-internet. In many ways, I've seen that sort of change within business as well and within financial services. I've worked in the FSI industry for 15 of those 25 years, and probably the second half of that has been leading insurance teams and with a lot of focus on London Market. It's a market that's actually quite fascinating. I remember being a very young lad driving through the centre of town past the iconic building, it being pointed out to me. And I mean, it still remains iconic today, and it's a real pleasure to be working in the industry.
Love that. I was going to say, Dan, when I first joined the Microsoft Insurance team, about 10 years in financial services, and I was pointed immediately in your direction as the person to come to understand all the nuances, the foibles of the London Market. And I'm glad I did it.
No, thanks, Heather. I mean, it's a fascinating industry. I mean, there's so much history behind it, lots of stories. The stories of Lloyd's of London being set up back in 350 years ago nearly. And even today, it's a market that certainly continues to thrive and, modernize with the times. I think London is unique, and the London Market is unique. It may be by design, maybe not, who knows, but if you think back to, well, certainly, the Great Fire of London, 1666, everything burnt to the ground, and a lot of the famous architects of the time, like Sir Christopher Wren, had this grand vision of building beautiful avenues, wide boulevards, think sort of Paris and the Haussmann style that they have over there. But Britain being Britain, we decided, no, we're not going to go with that. What we'll do is we'll just build it in the same sort of medieval layout as before. But, the way in which it was rebuilt after the Great Fire, turned out to be pretty favourable to trade because everything was still very, very close together. Shops, warehouses, marketplaces stayed close together, and you only needed to walk, get horse and cart, between places to trade. And that was really the era that Lloyd's of London came about, you know, only sort of 20 odd years later, in the Edward Coffee House, Edward Lloyd Coffee House, where merchants and sailors would come together and they'd write their names under the risks they're willing to take on. And although a lot has changed in that time, equally not a lot has changed, because one of the advantages that the London market has is it's got 50,000 people all within a few strides of that iconic Lloyd's building, enabling, you know, people to come together. I mean, Lloyd's is really seen as the great convener, bringing, you know, brokers together with underwriters under one roof. Some of that's changed because some of that is now digital. You know, certainly through COVID, we saw a lot of that trade go online. Microsoft was very much a part of that. You know, Microsoft has brought innovation and provided the platform's collaboration into that London market. And it has been a partner since we're not quite as old, but, you know, over the past sort of 50 odd years. And many organisations throughout that London market are using our platforms. Often think of them as a triangle, where at the base we've got that resilient infrastructure, we call it Azure, the data and analytics layer with Fabric, you know, the sort of insights that brokers and underwriters rely on to advise clients to sort of measure and write risk. The productivity layers that we're famous for around Microsoft 365, and of course collaboration with teams, which as I said, many were almost ran the market through COVID. But again, we're at yet another crossroads with AI. It's kind of redefining what's possible for financial institutions. It's offering the sort of open invitation for more innovation to solve many of the kind of long-standing industry challenges.
Yeah. Before we jump into those new innovations coming out, Dan, in your opinion, what has been the most pervasive technology that's been introduced into the London market and changed the way the market performed?
I think it's probably around collaboration. And as I said, probably that moment with COVID, although many of these technologies were being used well in advance of that, but that's when, you know, we're all forced to stay at home, weren't able to actually come into the, you know, certainly into Lloyd's, into the city. Remember all the images of it being a fairly empty place through that period. But of course, you know, the world moved on, and what really underpins industry and trade is insurance. It sort of operates quietly in the background. It's not, you know, it's almost like the kind of hotel lobby, peaceful, quiet music, and as opposed to the, you know, the rock and roll, heavy metal of the capital markets. But it's a really necessary thing that underpins trade. Trade, world trade, frankly, doesn't happen without insurance. If you think about ships passing through the Strait of Hormuz, or the corridor that had to be created to get grain out of Ukraine, sat behind that was Lloyd's of London, you know, enabling trade at global scale. So I think it was really the collaboration technologies that kind of kept things going, kept bringing people together, kept that sort of collaboration working.
Remember, you can get in touch with the show on LinkedIn. We'd love to hear from you with feedback, thoughts, and even suggestions for the future episodes. Now back to the show.
You've clearly got a wealth of experience in the insurance industry, Dan, and just trying to think how we're going to position today's session. I think, would it be at all possible, would you perhaps give us your opinions at the moment on current market conditions and what you're seeing, and then possibly how we think that AI is going to start to transform that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to unpack. It's a great question, but yeah, where do you start? I think maybe where some of our colleagues in the London market might begin there is around the market cycle, going from the hard to the soft and the soft to the hard, often a 7 to 10 year cycle, and it affects premiums, it affects rates and pricing, and so on and so forth. I think it's universally recognised London markets in a softening of the cycle. I think that's an important consideration when we're talking about market conditions. It brings a razor sharp focus on the discipline of underwriting, risk selection, risk pricing, ensuring being competitive whilst not having a race to the bottom. And because Lloyd's is, and the London market is far more than just kind of your typical off the shelf products that very much in the sort of large complex sort of space. So I think the changing economic winds and the geopolitical challenges that we're all aware of. You mentioned Ukraine and the war in Iran at the moment, all has an impact on what's expected of the market and what the market can provide. But there's some other longer term considerations as well. I read a report recently, actually, from the London Market Group, came out a couple of weeks ago, and it was talking about how the AI revolution is also shaping how, you know, work gets done across the market. I mean, this is in the context of, and the context was also sort of set out in the report around how the London market remains a global leader, but the challenges that it faces. And it highlighted that there's going to be a people and a talent shortage. It's forecasting that, you know, the market's got 60,000 people thereabouts now, but that workforce is going to have to grow to above 80,000 by the end of 2024. Or does it? Because in the age of AI, some of that work, some of that processing can be handled by agents and agents working with other agents. And by that, we mean sort of agentic AI, which can take away quite a lot of the back office processing and allow the industry to do what it does well, which is look forward and to innovate. So I think that, you know, some of the changes are well publicized if you read the newspaper or read the internet. But I do think that one of the biggest challenges and opportunities is going to be how the market adapts and adopts AI.
Yeah. I guess the recurring theme I'm seeing from a couple of my insurance customers is almost the threat of AI in that workforce conversation. But just based on what you've said there, I think there's also a really interesting opportunity about how AI can enable a workforce as well. One, to do more, but even, I think, Dan, you've talked about this quite often, that the way the workforce is structured is you've got like a significant cohort of very experienced individuals, and then you've got this sort of triangle vision where you've got new people coming into the market trying to upskill rapidly, and it's almost like the role of AI as an enabler in that scenario rather than a threat, I think, has become an interesting topic as well that I'm seeing.
Yeah, absolutely right. Definitely. I think that's always the way with technology, isn't it? It's always a double edge to it. The market is open for business, open for new talent. It is successful in attracting and developing talent, but it's also growing and it needs more people and it needs, you know, that younger talent coming into the market in the face of you know, the average age being around, depending which report you read, but anywhere between kind of 46 to 50. So it's an industry in London that is a little top heavy in that regard. And what agentic systems can help with is actually preserving that critical expertise by capturing how those experienced staff make decisions and translate that knowledge into operational models that can continue to perform reliably as teams contract. This is a shift that's likely to accelerate, and we're going to have this kind of hybrid world of work emerging, people working with agents, you know, to deliver outcomes and to deliver results. But what that's really going to mean is we're going to have inbuilt resilience in the market by virtue of having humans and agents working together. And, you know, we'll be able to kind of maintain the market performance, even though we might see a decline in headcount.
Yeah, I see lots of parallels here between possibly junior and the trade-off between junior and senior developers, for example. If there's perhaps a legacy tech stack and you find that you've got a lot of knowledge trapped within sort of more senior, how do we try and use agents to try and unlock some of that stuff? And it's, yeah, there's a lot of parallels there.
I agree, Steve. I agree. I think it's gonna help develop new talent, as well as, you know, preserve the knowledge of the more experienced talent, and the two will work together to create this kind of sustained growth of the industry and enable London to flourish.
Some of the themes that we've talked about between our shared and joint customers that we have in the UK is that there seems to be a willingness to pivot and revert back to a more renewed focus on what a particular organization was founded for. So stripping it back to the beginning type motion. What can you tell us about that? What do you think? I think Microsoft can help with that kind of motion of stripping it back to its basics.
I mean, in its basic form, the insurance industry is there to to protect, to de-risk, to take on risks that others may not be willing to take on, and to transfer those risks to enable other industries to thrive and to flourish. So the technology that's available today can help to improve the quality of that work, whether that's pricing or rating or claims or fraud identification. It can actually reduce the sort of burden on the market to focus on some of those administrative tasks and free up the time to change that customer experience, to come alongside the customer and help prevent risk or identify risk before they happen. And it kind of changes, it has the potential to change the role of the industry from kind of risk taker to risk advisor. So I think, you know, that some might see that as being a bit of a threat in terms of, well, aren't we going to be commoditizing what we're doing by sort of using technology to become more efficient and drive down prices and pass savings back to the end insured, which basically becomes a race to the bottom? Or do we take a more optimistic view of the future where we could price in a different experience that's based on value, not cost?
Yeah, becoming easier to do business with, right? Focusing on that people connection that we have.
I think it's in many ways the moat around the London market was its complexity. You know, no one else could possibly do something as difficult and complex as this, and all of the different moving parts in the market. It had this sort of sense of complexity, but, you know, that same technology now is making the market's current operating model already faster. You know, the London market has been embracing AI and digital technologies for a good deal now. But it is kind of diminishing the complexity of making the market easier to do business with, whether that's, you know, the interactions between brokers and the customers, or underwriters and brokers, or even between, you know, in the sort of context of Lloyd's, between Lloyd's and its members. And it sort of, it gives us the opportunity to start asking ourselves the question, well, you know, if AI and technology is handling a lot of the things that can be systemized, then how can we use that to change the experience strategy, and use that experience to redefine, you know, the edge that London has in the global insurance industry.
Yeah, I love that. And Dan, we talk in Microsoft about the role of AI in transforming or reinventing that customer experience. And we spoke, I loved that you shared an analogy of, you know, is AI doing the same to manufacturing as what robotics did? And I know you had some thoughts on that. So I was just going to ask if you could share your opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're all used to using, you know, Amazon.com. And the experience that we get through that, it's nice and easy to use, and you know, we get our delivery the very next day, sometimes on the same day, but it has had an impact on the high street, and society's had to adapt. That analogy of, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, and you know, I sort of saw what that the impact that that had on, you know, towns and cities across the UK as we moved more to a services industry, particularly financial services, which was based in London, and this great kind of north-south divide that we're still trying to overcome. But even within, you know, that sort of shift, we can take some learnings from it, which is things won't be the same as they once were. They will be different. We're working in a global marketplace these days. London is competing with, you know, maybe some regard as fleeter of foot markets like Bermuda, Dubai, Singapore for quite some time, where there's perhaps less tradition and less legacy, and they can be a little bit more fleet of foot. So we've got to be aware that, you know, there is a competitive market out there, and you know, we can't still be weaving wool into, you know, whatever in looms in great big mills anymore to remain competitive. And so the world does need to move on, but you've got to find that new frontier to compete in, and I think a good opportunity to continue to kind of create and capture value for London is to focus in those areas rather than just saying, okay, well, you know, we're easier to do business with, we'll pass those savings through and we'll compete on price. Because I think the advantage that London has is those 50,000 experts or so within a couple of strides of the Lloyd's building, that vast amount of knowledge and experience that they can bring to look at, you know, innovating to create new and you know, new products to kind of tackle the new and emerging risks that we're all facing in the world.
Heather and I have got some great ideas for episodes lined up in the future. So remember to subscribe to Insurance Corner wherever you get your podcasts. Now back to the show.
Do you, just thinking out loud, Dan, have you got a view of what you think might be almost the top three scenarios where AI could have quite a profound impact on that sort of reinvention of customer service, or actually not just customer service or that customer experience, but actually supporting in the sort of the end-to-end market journey?
Yeah, I mean, I think because London's dealing with large and complex risks, it's different from a retail experience where, you know, applying technology to the customer experience is quite obvious because you can just point at other industries like Amazon, for example, and what that's done within retail. But yeah, I mean, customer servicing and retention is going to be one area. That workforce resilience that we spoke about, you know, humans plus agents to tackle the talent challenges and potentially attritional challenges. But also across different lines of the value chain within insurance, whether that's from, you know, claims to underwriting to fraud detection. But I think underpinning all of this is really the data. And, you know, whether that's unstructured data or structured data, having well-governed, well-managed data, strong lineage, trust in the data, etc., is really the kind of bedrock of all of this, because it's from that where you can begin to bring data to new processes, more efficient processes. And that's really what kind of will help reshape the industry. And, you know, I see that as a significant shift coming from the ability to, from the data, to be able to actually update risks and price risks continuously and act upon them. You know, we've seen that with dynamic pricing, and we've seen innovation in the market around using blockchain technologies to dynamically price marine risk. And I think we're going to continue to see more of that. You know, so, you know, AI, agentic AI is going to be used increasingly to reshape underwriting from a periodic document-driven activity into responsive, continuously learning risk function. That's different. I mean, we're heading in that direction. So instead of, you know, relying on schedule updates or manual file assembly, underwriting decisions can kind of draw on that steady flow of real-time signals. And then that can be reflected in what's happening across the portfolio. So the technology is there. We know it can be used in that way. A good recent example is just over the next door neighbour's fence in the London Stock Exchange in the capital markets. Microsoft is working in partnership with London Stock Exchange Group, and have built a connector to the market's financial data through a model context protocol, which enables market participants in that industry to access LSEG's financial data through things like Copilot. And so instead of necessarily needing a whole workbook of data from LSEG to perform a particular process, those participants can just tap in, take the little bit of data that they need to feed into their particular unique business process, and, you know, and deliver the outcomes that they're looking for. So that movement of data and that use of data and the ability to sort of use it in any particular process, not a defined process and a rigid process, enables organizations to actually reshape their own businesses, how they operate, how they process, because they can just rely on the data being there as and when they need it.
So access to data, so key, isn't it, about how quickly you can get hold of that. Previously, it would have been a request that, like you said, would have been batched up perhaps at midnight. You get access to it maybe a few days later. Yeah, people are starting to expect it now in real time.
Well, also, yeah. Steve, if you think about, take an atypical managing agent or underwriter in London, very often they'll have a marine division, they'll have a cargo division. Quite closely related business in the sense that a lot of cargo is transited by, you know, by vessels on the sea. And in order to really understand what's happening in those industries, those marine and cargo underwriters will be wanting to access data and often buying that data off data providers, whether that's, you know, Morningstar or S&P or whoever else. And they're buying, typically they've been buying big books of data, big data sheets, when they may only need two or three data points out of the whole thing. And you start to get duplication, because the guys in cargo might not be aware that the marine guys have already bought that data set, but they just need three different pieces of data out of that data sheet. So you're getting this duplicate purchasing that's happening. But if you had a trusted place to access just the point of data that you need as and when you need it to fulfill your particular process and outcome, you know, that already is generating savings. But it's also generating better outcomes because you're accessing what you need when you need it. So you get that responsiveness. And, you know, we know that the London market, you know, by acting on speed wins more business. You know, there's data out there that says underwriters who can provide the quote the quickest to the broker more often than not will get the business. So, you know, that speed coupled together with the accuracy is what we can see being enabled through data and through the AI.
Yeah, I love that. And it's one of those ones, it's where capital markets has been probably faster out the starting blocks has been creating that data ecosystem. It's, to your point, it's phenomenal seeing that momentum now happen in the insurance sector as well, and seeing how these connections are taking place, how we're consuming data in different ways. And I think there were some other sort of interesting announcements around S&P's intelligence data being consumable through Copilot as well. So it feels like the data dots are beginning to be connected now. And to your point, it is additive in that it's providing more relevant information into the right hands more rapidly. So I'm really excited to see what happens next in that space.
It is, Heather. I mean, you know, insurance is data and mathematics when it comes down to it. And risk-taking. But, you know, London has always been a centre of innovation and collaboration. It is continuing to be so. It is advancing with the times. You know, I'm certainly seeing a lot of brilliant ideas coming out of the industry and trailblazing in many respects. And I think in... maybe to give a couple of examples of this, we spoke earlier around the kind of grain corridor through the Ukraine war. I mean, that requires a huge amount of mobilization of resources and ingenuity to come up with these sorts of products and services. But I think that whole area of new and emerging risks is an area that the market can grow into. It has been very successful in the world of cyber, and we've seen London emerge as a leader in the world of cyber, as well as renewables. But what data and AI offers is the ability to access new data models, vast data models. As we're putting more satellites up into space, we're getting access to higher resolution climate forecasts, you know, drone and satellite imagery. And we can add three things like Microsoft Planetary Computer, for example, which is kind of aggregating a lot of that data, where Copilot can run over the top of it and eke out those insights so that you can begin to have a better grasp of the impact of climate and climate risk, to be able to better advise customers of what's coming so that they can take preventative action and risk mitigation. Whilst also provide reliable, you know, brilliant products from the London market that you can transfer that risk to. And insurers that are moving from kind of simply transferring risk to actually understanding it and predicting it and preventing it and being able to dynamically price it, you know, those are the organisations that are really going to be unlocking completely new business models and creating that sustainable competitive advantage.
Love that. Really love that. No, I was going to say, Dan, you've left us on a high note.
Thanks, Heather. We could talk all day about this sort of stuff. I mean, it really is the thing that underpins more things than we actually realise, because it's kind of in the background, but so vital to, you know, our everyday, certainly when it comes to kind of global trade and, you know, the sort of the macro scale sorts of things. And because of the innovation, it really, you know, it really sort of plays to what we can do really, really well, because, you know, being part of an ecosystem that is highly innovative in the technology industry, you know, pairing that together with the innovation in risk transfer, it's a great partnership.
Dan, we can't thank you enough for the time that you've given us today. If folks listening want to get in touch with you, how is the best way to come and say hello?
Best way to get in touch would be either on LinkedIn, Dan Reardon. I work for Microsoft. There's not many Dan Reardons on LinkedIn. or dreardon at microsoft.com, either or. Please do get in touch or with any one of my colleagues within the financial services team at Microsoft, and we'd love to have a conversation with you.
Absolutely. Dan, thanks for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks, Heather.
Hey, wasn't that really good?
Yes, brilliant. I have to admit, I could listen to Dan all day long based on all his history and knowledge.
He was absolutely phenomenal. I'm trying to think of one takeaway point that I can try and latch onto. There were so many. I think for me, the bit that I was most, it was resonating most with me, again, is it applies across all organizations at the moment, but almost doubly so with insurance and the amount of data that there is, be it on paper or document, it's very document heavy. Just it underscored the importance once again to try and leverage generative AI in this day and age, how important it is to make sure that your data foundations are in place.
Absolutely. I loved his comment about insurance mostly being data and maths. And risk he did also tack on as well. But I thought that was a fantastic summary of the importance and where AI can play a big role. I was also going to say my favorite part of the discussion, which has been a bit of a recurring theme for us, I'd say for the last few episodes, has been the impact of AI in the workforce, or what the workforce means today. And again, there seems to be a really exciting opportunity for AI, whether that's agents, whether that's co-pilot, and I'm really excited to see where that takes us.
Indeed. If you have enjoyed today's episode at all, please review it wherever you find your podcast. But please join us again soon on Insurance Corner. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.